What you're about to hear is a satirization of talk radio, a send-up of the medium. In other words, it's supposed to be funny. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Bob, your family's roots go back a long time, is what you're saying.
That's right, Phil. Our family has been in this country since the first St. Augustine Spanish settlement.
In Florida.
That is correct. It goes back quite a ways. My mother's maiden name is DeFleur, but her grandmother was a Cortez, and on her father's side, his grandmother was DeCraz. All of these families were immigrants from Spain to North America.
How did you come to be a Green?
Well, I came to be a Green. That was my father's family's name. They immigrated here from Glasgow, Scotland at the turn of the 18th century in 1718. So our family has very deep roots in this country, and particularly in the South, where members of my family and ancestry settled in Florida, Georgia, and Louisiana. And Phil, when the Civil War ended, not only my family, but thousands of families in the South were suddenly without the labor that they had relied on for many hundreds of years. And yes, it was labor, and yes, it was right, absolutely right, for our country to eventually discard this institution. But in discarding it, many families in the Deep South, as I say, went without labor that they had relied upon for hundreds of years. And as the result of that, crops were destroyed, many farms went bankrupt, many families were left without a way of making a living, and the result was over 100 years of incredible poverty and hardship. For a lot of families.
Yeah, but the poverty and the hardship came about, unfortunately or fortunately, as the result, I don't think it's ever fortunate when a family is poor, but as the result of ridding our country of this thing that was a betrayal of, you know, of our country and our principles, slavery.
And slavery was unfortunate, but when slavery ended, the slaves got their freedom and all of that, and my family and many families were left out in the cold, and that's why the litigation.
Well, this is a massive lawsuit that you are bringing, suing for, quote, lost earnings. You're suing for kidnapping. You're suing the United States government and all African-American members of Congress, and there would be some 39 individuals there. Why African-American members of Congress? Why are they included in the suit?
Phil, because we feel that they're a logical body to start with. And the other thing I want to emphasize is, since we instigated this, we have been called racist, we've been called bigots in this, and I don't want anyone to feel that there is racism here.
Well, let's just get to the, why are you suing African-American members of Congress?
Because we feel they're a logical body to start with.
Why?
Well, since it's most likely those people would be best viewed as an example of the upward mobility of the black people since the Civil War, and are therefore in the best possible position to influence other members of Congress to award damages, either through the courts or through a direct appropriation from Washington.
Well, you're talking about $124 million for your family alone.
No, that's the estimate per family. That is correct.
And there's no way.
Well, no, and we understand, Mr. Hendry, and I would like to say, unlike a lot of black people who've asked for reparations that would literally bankrupt our country, we're not going to do that. We instead are going to ask for a reasonable amount that won't absolutely destroy our country's efforts at erasing the debt. We're asking for $300 million on behalf of any family that joins our class action.
And you're asking the United States government, just so I don't want to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
Because there's a lot of detail I want to get to.
I know, but you're asking the United States government to pay your family and any other family that suffered labor loss at the end of the Civil War a large amount of money. So $300 million is what you're asking for in this class action.
And that's correct.
And this is money that would be paid out to families who were slave owners.
This is money that we paid out to families that lost a lot of money as the result of the loss of labor.
And slave owners, though.
You know, there's an old saying: you say tomato, I say, tomatoes. But this is,
Let me ask you, do you really think that you're entitled to reparations based on the fact that people being freed from bondage forced your family to lose money?
Well, then let me ask you this. Why is it when the blacks got their freedom, they still wanted to get reparations? See, when the blacks got their freedom, that was their reparation, but then they want even more on top of that. And the people who were landowners, back then.
And slave owners.
Well, you say slave owners, but in those days it wasn't considered that bad. They did fight the Civil War, but it wasn't a very popular war. Most people didn't think owning a slave was that bad back then. Now it is. Right now, people are going to look at you cross-eyed if you have a slave. Back then, but nonetheless, the people who were landowners back then suddenly had their labor kidnapped, which is the reason why we're bringing a lawsuit against the descendants of Abraham Lincoln, basically for kidnapping the slaves. This is an enormous...
Abraham Lincoln kidnapped the slaves how?
Because when he gave them freedom, they left. And
well, if you give a man freedom...
Here's the thing you need to understand about your slave back then. Even if you opened up the gates to the plantation, he never would have left, because that's... He was... In a lot of ways, and I guess this is not politically correct, he was more comfortable.
Well, look, there were slave revolts throughout the centuries.
I know, but the average slave... But then Lincoln said, you can go, and then they said, okay. And that's like, in our opinion, kidnapping.
All right, hold on. Robert Green has joined us, if you've just joined us back out there in Radioland. Mr. Green, you're an executive of Fraser Foods, but this has nothing to do with your job. Your family was a plantation owner, family?
They were farmers, Phil.
What kind of crop?
Well, they had a combination of things. They did rice. They grew cotton. They had a plantation and a rum distillery for a while. My family also was in the fruit growing. They did cranberries. They raised some cattle. There's a lot of that went into that.
And when they lost their slave labor, they lost everything.
Lost everything, every nickel.
All right, our number 1-800-449-8686. I've never heard of this. I've heard of certainly African-Americans asking for reparations based upon slavery. We've heard of lawsuits being filed by Jewish families as the result of slave labor in World War II. We have certainly are familiar with Japanese-Americans getting reparations as a result of the internment during World War II. I have not yet heard of the descendants of plantation owners suing the federal government and 39 members of African-Americans of Congress for money because they lost a lot of money.
See, I came up with this idea when I was thinking about it. I was talking with a friend of mine who happens to be a co-worker, and he's also a black man. And I said to him, and his name is Jim Bodine. I said, Jim, look. I said, so you people want to have money? And you know, he came up with some answer like, yes, or I forget how he said it, but. I said, so how come my family can't get any money? And he didn't have a really good answer. And he was black. So if he doesn't have a good answer...
This is a lot of money, $300
million. Yes, it is, sir.
And you say you don't want to bankrupt the country. $300 million, almost a half a billion dollars, is a lot of bread to put into a... to have to pay out at a time when you're right, we're trying to shrink the debt.
Well, I think that there's some things that need to be right, you know, some wrongs need to be righted, Phil, and as I say, our family were, you know, we were plantation owners, and when we let the slaves go, which I guess was good, we lost all of that money, and we're never going to get it back, and how come the black people get to have, you know, how come they got money, and we didn't, see, when they freed the blacks, they got 40 acres and a mule. I'm sure you heard of that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we didn't get, you know, anything. And
but the idea was you owned slaves. The idea.
Well, so what do we get for the fact that?
Well, here's what, in my opinion, you got a clear conscience, no longer having to.
I can't eat a clear. You know, I can't put that between two pieces of bread.
That's, how much are you worth personally right now? If you don't mind me asking.
Me personally?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, anywhere $10 to $15 million.
Because of your stake in this grocery chain?
That's correct.
So you don't need this money.
I don't need this money, but my family back in the Civil War did. And what I want to do is collect it on their behalf. And if I find any people who are extended family, I'd like to give it to them. Because, you know, a lot of the Southerners had extended family. I don't know. I might have a retarded half brother or something like that. I just not making a joke, but
all right. Okay, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Landowners in the South lost a lot of money when the slave labor was literally taken from them as the result of slavery being ended. Are those families and their descendants, are the descendants of those families actually entitled to money from lost earnings as the result of their labor being taken from them? And that's what this man feels. His name is Robert Green. He is a descendant of plantation owners in the South who, at the end of the Civil War, literally lost their entire plantation and everything and the money that would have accrued had they retained their labor, slave labor, though it may be, and they're looking for, quote, $300 million from the United States government and the African-American members of Congress. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Whenever you think of someone with hair, think of me, Bob Green.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
But I don't understand. We're back with Robert Greene. I don't understand. What do you mean Lincoln kidnapped the slaves?
Abraham Lincoln was the guy that emancipated the slaves.
Yeah, but you want to sue his descendants as well for kidnapping the slaves, even though they were given their freedom.
But the average slave back then, you got to understand something about history, because I looked at, you know, when I filed this lawsuit, I looked a lot of stuff up on the internet, and it says that when the slaves were living on the plantation, a lot of them didn't mind it. And then Lincoln comes along and says, no, it is bad. So he put the idea into the...
Oh, come on, man. There were, as I mentioned, there were slave revolts for 400 years. There had been slave revolts since the very beginning of the slave ships coming here.
Well, I'm not familiar with that.
Well, if you're on the internet, you got to look them up, man. There have been slave revolts throughout the centuries. Nat Turner's most famous...
Well, look, here's what I'm saying. Nat Turner, isn't that the guy who hated Jews?
Or one of those... What do you mean, the guy that hated Jews?
I thought that was the...
I don't know, but one of those slaves. The fact of the matter is that...
Well, see, you don't have your facts straight, so how could you question mine?
No, the fact of the matter is that the slaves were given their freedom. They left, and the...
And families like mine all of a sudden are standing there with a pot with nothing in it. Thank you very much, Abraham Lincoln. I'm not complaining about slavery being eliminated, but, you know, can you give a guy a heads up? And I think he should have given a lot of the landowners what we call today a heads up.
What do you mean a heads up?
Slavery is going to be ended, you know, you might want to get your ducks in a row.
Well, I don't know what you call a... If you don't call civil war a heads up...
Well, we didn't know that we were going to lose... I mean, when I say we, the Confederacy was going to lose it.
You did... All right, 1-800-4... So what, in other words, like a year before the Emancipation Proclamation?
If he was going to free them, you know, I want to give you a heads up on whether or not...
Whether they use the term heads up.
I don't know, but the fact is, I'd like to let you know, you know, you might want to pull your heads out of your rear ends. Slavery's going to be over.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jackie, go ahead. Jackie, you there? No, she ain't there. Here is Stephen. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, this guy is crazy. I personally do believe that he might have a brother that's half retarded. Because I can't believe that somebody is trying to look to get money from something that is just so evil in the first place. I mean, I was saying to the guy that screamed the phone call.
Now,
let me finish my statement. That's like me, if looting and robbing was legal at one time, me breaking into a store, breaking my leg because I fell through the skylight or whatever the hell happened, and then I end up suing the government 20 years later saying that I couldn't support my family because I was robbing stores.
Wait a minute,
boy, my family.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean you don't know what I'm talking about?
Say that again about robbing a store.
I said that's like a thief trying to sue somebody saying that they can't make a living doing something illegal. It's illegal now.
We have title to that land, and we had a writ that showed that we were entitled.
And you should have done it then. And if that was the case, and you had a problem then, and your ancestors were stupid enough not to do whatever they were supposed to do back then while they could get away with it, now that's your loss.
Wait, you're telling
you know
me
what?
That your
you got
family...
Enough money, you got enough money right now. Now you should worry about other stuff. You
your
shouldn't even be
you're
worried
telling
about
me your family robbed shoes, which is against the law. My family was raising cattle.
Oh man, yeah, I had enough.
Wait a minute, this guy didn't say that his
poopy is found on the radio. Thank you very
I'm stupid,
much.
This guy says that he is robbing shoes, right?
No, he didn't. He said if he was coming through a skylight and he was robbing shoes, then what he was saying basically was this: it was illegal. what you were doing, what your family was doing.
It wasn't illegal back then. Slavery was entirely legal, and so we weren't breaking to see that guy. That's typical, though, I think, Phil, of a lot of the black folks that I talk to. They don't get it.
What do you mean they don't get it?
Well, they come up with a reason like that, which is a bad...
I think the man's reasoning was good. What he's basically saying, he maybe it wasn't illegal, but it was immoral.
It was immoral, but it wasn't illegal, and it wasn't looked upon as a bad thing. So my family owned these slaves, which was totally fine and completely legal, and I got plus...
Let me ask you something. I don't want to get into this. How does a family join you in this class action lawsuit? You say that this is a class action, so any slave-owning family in the South could join you in this lawsuit against the United States government to get money for lost earnings. Is that correct?
That is correct.
How do I prove if my family was a family in the South that owned slaves?
First of all, and that's a good question, Phil, what we're asking for is this lawsuit families can join if they can give us proof that their families were landowners in the Confederacy at the start of the war, and if they had slaves. You got to have had slaves.
How do you prove you had slaves?
If you can come up with, we figure, and I could be wrong, but there must be a receipt or something that shows.
What do you mean by a receipt? When they bought the slave?
Well, some bill, a receipt, a bill of sale. I'm in the grocery business, and we give receipts for every. It sounds bad, but.
Do you believe the families are going to have that stuff?
There may be some families who have a couple of receipts laying around.
A couple of receipts laying around for slaves.
I mean, you're trying to make me the bad guy here. I'm just looking...
Well, I think that trying to get money, and especially asking a family if they've got receipts for slaves...
Look, if they're mementos from a time...
Mementos?
Just from a time...
So I got... Hey, look at this. I got a receipt here from when my family owned slaves. I bought a slave. It's a memento.
It's a memento. It might remind them of a romantic time.
A romantic time when they owned slaves.
Mr. Henry... As long as you color this with the broad brush of morality, you're not looking at the legality. When the Civil War ended and my family was completely destitute and completely wiped out because we didn't have the slave labor, and a lot of it, when you call it slave labor, remember, there's also lost money for lodging. Food.
Lodging and food. Now, I am assuming that is the lodging and the food that you gave the slaves.
Well, no. It's the lodging and the food that we gave. Yes, of course.
All right. And so how much money do you think you're out on that?
Over a couple of hundred years is probably a lot of money.
I mean, what do you think it took to maintain a slave cabin and feed one slave for one day?
Back then?
Back then.
Probably $10 or something.
$10? $10 back then was an enormous amount of money. Your guy only made about $1 a day. I mean, the average worker.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Maintaining a slave was very expensive because they had different dietary needs. They had.
In what way did they have different dietary needs? Are you trying to tell me, sir, that the slaves back then...
Absolutely. I mean, they came from Africa where they were eating, I don't know, bananas or whatever they had.
Bananas, huh?
Well, no, they came from Africa and they had to eat... A banana diet, and so
all of the money that a lot of these plantation owners are out, some of it includes maintaining a special diet for the slaves who came from Africa eating bananas.
See, you make all of this a racist sounding thing.
You're the guy that makes it sound racist, sir. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Phil Henry Show with Robert Greene suing the federal government and 39 African-American members of Congress for reparations due former plantation owners after the Civil War who lost income, lost money. Why would African-Americans, as you told me during the break, support this?
Again, Mr. Henry, your question's loaded as if, you know, why this, why that?
I mean, well, I'm coming from a point of view, sir.
All right. Well, here's my point of view. I think the blacks out there should support it because, think about it, their ancestors left a lot of the people high and dry. When they left, it's, you know, they went out, had their 40 acres and a mule and went off and started, you know, shoeshine businesses and a lot of stuff that they started, which they don't do anymore. I understand that, but the first job that they got was doing shoeshines and stuff, and now...
What do you mean the first job? A lot of them were farmers.
But I'm saying they leave, and my ancestors are high and dry, standing there without a pot to, you know, throw it out of. And my we have a correspondence that says my great-great-great-granduncle stood there at the end of the road as the blacks were leaving, saying, oh, thanks a lot. Thanks very much. Yeah, you're welcome.
You know, you're welcome for what, dude? I mean, these people were enslaved, beaten. The crimes against African Americans during the slave period included rape, torture, mutilation, murder, you know.
And what about, okay, that's the bad part. But
the good part was what? $10 a day and banana diets.
Well, Mr. Henry, if you are coming from a bigoted point of view...
No, sir, I think that you're the one. 1-800-449-8686. Tabitha, go ahead.
My heart's beating very fast because I'm freaking out that this guy is even saying this right now. I mean...
All I'm trying to get is a few dollars for the people that...
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's like these people were beaten and, like, I don't know. I just can't believe that you think that you should get some money from this.
What about the ones that weren't beaten, like the butlers and stuff?
Yeah, well,
you know, the butlers?
Like, you think they wanted to be working for your ancestors and in the house, and you know?
Wait, if you're talking about the people who worked in the house, those women were raped.
Yeah,
you don't
exactly
know what happened to the men.
Are you saying Thomas Jefferson raped that one that he had?
Yes, I am. I'm saying Thomas Jefferson was a rapist.
Oh, boy, are you in trouble now? You're talking about...
I don't care. Jefferson had a slave. Any woman that's a slave and has sex with a master, by definition, that's rape.
All right, let's talk to this lady. Your name's...
bananas? What do you think they're eating bananas? Why would they just be eating bananas in Africa? Like, that's even just a stupid thing for you to say.
No,
anyway.
I just asked you what your name... Your name isn't Banana, is it?
Yeah, okay.
Her name's Tabitha.
I'm sorry, I just asked... What is your name?
Tabitha.
All right. The butler's got to sleep inside.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I mean, my family's been here for a very long time. They came over before the Mayflower, so I'm sure we're not innocent either. But at the same time, I'm not going to go sit there and join your class action lawsuit because, you know, maybe we had some slaves too, maybe. I don't know. But
you might have, and it could be worth a lot of money to you. I mean,
no,
I'm talking to the tune of
like
six.
That. I think you're out of your mind, and I think that, you know.
Are you telling me you can't use a couple of $1 million? Oh, okay, gee, wow. Life must be good for you.
Well,
hey, you know what? Some things money can't buy, man.
I'm not going to do it at somebody else's expense, you know.
I'm talking $10 million, Tabitha. Think about it. $10 million.
This is a woman who...
No, I'm talking to her, not you. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, obviously, money sounds good, but I'm not. I think it was a terrible thing, slavery, and I'm just... There would be no
what
way
about, all right,
I
let me ask
make
you
any
this
money off of it.
What about 15? What about $15
million? I'm not
do you know what you could get for
15? Slaves.
You could get a beautiful home on the beach... Everything that you, what do you want? You get your nails done every day? You don't want to have to work? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I just, like I said, my heart's beating fast. I'm kind of freaked out about this whole thing right now that you'd even think about this.
What about $20 million?
Will you quit jacking the price? The lady's not interested at any price.
Thank you, Phil. God.
Oh, not interested at any price. What if it was $300 million? Aha! Now I think.
Get out of here. Tabitha, thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk to this guy about this banana diet. What in the world are you talking about, banana diet? The banana diet went out the door as soon as they got on that boat to come over. And they were forced to come on that boat. They didn't have a choice. They were chained, they were put in nets to come on that boat, and they were crammed in those boats 400 at a time. Have you looked at the diagrams? 400 at a time to be put on the boats and for their diet to be sent out the door, mutilated every day, raped if their masters chose to it, and you're trying to make money off of this?
No, I'm just saying that when Lincoln...
Oh, you're not trying to make
up,
money off of this.
No, hold on. No,
you
wait.
Were jacking up the price on Tabitha for $300 million, and you're saying you're not trying to make money off of this.
No, I'm just saying, when Lincoln, all of a sudden, without giving us a heads up, said you're all free, that a lot of people...
Lincoln was not an abolitionist. Look it up. He was not an abolitionist.
Well, whatever happened, suddenly they got to go, and nobody gave us the heads up on that. Now, all that labor...
It doesn't matter. It's a moral issue. You're supposed to be... It's in the Bible, for God's sakes. They said, Moses said, let my people go.
Wait a second.
Are you Christian, sir?
Am I what?
Are you Christian?
Am I Christian? Absolutely.
Then why are you trying to make money? You have ex post facto to worry about.
What's that got to do with anything? I'm just
ex post facto. Do you know what ex post facto is?
Sounds like some kind of a cereal. I don't know.
No.
I'm a grocer, sir. Right?
Ex post facto is.
I'm a grocer, sir.
You're a very wealthy grocer.
No, I'm in the grocery business. But I'm saying to Michael, when they left, now we don't have any money to make because the labor's gone. So who pays us?
Do you know how your great-great-granduncle or whatever treated those slaves?
I'm assuming that it was,
Look, what Michael's saying is the possibility is very, very high that your great-granduncle treated those people with extreme cruelty, and...
I don't think so.
Bill,
I saw pictures of him. He looked like a good man.
Ex post facto, after the fact.
Yes.
You're trying to make a lawsuit after the fact.
Yes.
And
no, this is reparations, see? That's the whole deal. See, that's how I get to do it.
You don't get to do anything.
Yeah,
the law was made after...
In other words, the plantation owner gets to bend over, grab his ankles, and smile, and the black folks get reparations, and the Chinese do. I don't understand.
What do the black folks
what do you mean
get?
The
they've been segregated.
Didn't
for
we
get
some
over
the Chinese?
Years.
We gave it to Japanese. All right, listen, thank you very much, Michael. 1-800-449-8686.
I mean, I hate to be crude, Mr. Henry, but the Chinese, or not the Chinese, but what do you...
Japanese.
The Japanese get to have reparations. The, if you'll, pardon the euphemism, our friends of Abraham got to have a...
What does that mean? You mean the Jewish folks?
Yes, sir.
Okay, say it.
They get to have reparations, but the plantation owner has to bend over, turn around and look back at the camera with a big smile on his face.
Look back at the camera. 1-800-449-8686. Heather, go ahead.
Okay, my concern is for the slaves. Who is going to compensate? I would like every slave family who ever worked on your plantation to receive $300 million. Your plantation, I'm not done, your plantation received free labor for hundreds of thousands, hundreds of years. How about those families who were stripped off Africa, put on a boat, put on your land, and their families destroyed?
Well,
I think if anybody deserves any money,
it wasn't slavery.
It's those people.
Why you would say technically it wasn't slavery?
They got room and board. Okay? And
room and board? Dude, these folks were starved. They lived in a shack. They ate crap.
I think all the families that were ever located on your plantation should be found, and they should be compensated for the hundreds of years of free labor that you got from them. That is my point.
Well, all right, but how do they prove that they were? See, I got a bill of sale.
How do you prove that they...
I got a receipt.
Good. Go find them and go pay them, because you owe them for hundreds of years of free labor.
Well, if the receipt doesn't have the guy... If the receipt says something like Cletus, doesn't have a last name...
My point is, sir, you're way off. The money deserves to go to those workers who work for free, not to you. You got a free ride, and it got taken away from your family, and I'm sorry.
There you go. It was a free
ride. You know what?
It was a free ride.
A free ride. It helped pay, the cotton. I mean, all the cotton that was made.
I think I'm done. Can I go?
Yeah, okay. You ever worn a sweater? Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you for the chance to speak.
She doesn't wear clothes, I guess.
Well, she's wearing clothes.
I'm a white woman, and I'm fighting for the black people.
You're a white what? You're a white woman fighting for the black people. Well, that's fine.
I can't meet you.
But your family may have owned slaves too, and you might be entitled to about $20 million.
Actually, we didn't. I know exactly where my family came from, and we didn't.
I'm afraid it's very possible that they did. And $20 million is going to buy you a lot of whatever it is you do.
You know what, honey? I don't need any money. If I could give it to someone who went through the hell that those slaves went through, I would give it to them.
Let me ask you, how do you know that your family didn't own slaves?
Because I've done my research through the 1700s. You can ask my husband.
Well, what did you do? Pay some guy in a storefront someplace in Laguna Niguel? They're going to tell you anything you want to hear.
You go through the records. You get the pictures. The pictures, I have the name. My point, sir,
what
is morally, need to look at what you're standing for. There are slave families that lost everything for hundreds of years.
I understand that, but I just want to know, I don't want to know what your last name is, but give me a last name from your family. I'm not giving you anything over the air, sir.
I just pray that morally you get a clue as to what you're doing.
Well, the lady says she didn't own slaves.
Well, I'm not saying she didn't.
Well, I mean her family didn't.
No, she did not.
She's hiding something.
Why?
Why won't you give me a last name?
Because I'm on the air and my husband would kill me.
No, I don't want your last name. I want a last name from hundreds of years ago since you did your research.
You know, I can't give you a name. But you know what? My point doesn't change. The money would be deserving. Even if I had slaves, the money would go to them before it would go to me.
I bet you had them on a chain about a mile long.
I think you're really sad, sir. And I really hope and pray you realize how far off you are.
Heather, $20 million buys a heck of a lot of whatever you are.
I don't want it.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much, Heather.
I really don't.
That sounded a little insulting.
What?
$20 million buys a heck of a lot of whatever you are.
Look, you know what? You know why? At least I can be honest. Her family had him on a chain 100 yards long going, Swanee, how I love you, and she won't admit it.
You don't know that, man. She didn't say anything.
Oh, she did her research. Heather. If that doesn't sound like a white woman name, I don't know what does. And that sounds southern, too, doesn't it? Heather? Sounds like, you know, Heather, like a lot of them southern plantation women were named Heather. They wore the white gloves. And they had a garter belt that they used to toss at the slave guy, right? I'll bet you anything her family had probably a stable, a big buck.
All right, hold it right there. Let me go over to Terry. Terry, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
I am just totally blown away by your by the comparison of your family suffering loss of labor to my family's loss of loved ones in the Holocaust. The comparison is just how you can call yourself a Christian or even a human being is just beyond anything I can wrap my mind around.
Why are you getting personal? I'm simply asking.
You're getting personal. If you were suing because of your family,
yes,
that's about as personal as you can get in a lawsuit.
Well, that's my family. You're commenting on me. I'm not commenting on you.
You're the one who brought up my family. You brought up the Holocaust, my friend.
Who's your family? I don't even know who you are.
You brought up the Holocaust. Therefore, you brought up my family.
Oh, you're a friend of Abraham.
What does that mean? Can't you just say Jewish folks?
I said Jewish. I didn't say anything about Abraham.
Well,
the name Abraham for a few weeks.
I'm just saying that you haven't?
Probably not.
Ain't this Hanukkah?
Yes, it is Hanukkah.
Well, then why wouldn't you say Abraham?
Actually, that doesn't have anything to do with Hanukkah. Actually, Hanukkah. Yeah, Abraham has nothing to do with Hanukkah. That was Judah the Maccabee that has to do with Hanukkah, not Abraham.
Who?
Let the lady talk about what it is she's saying. You made a comparison between the loss of labor, the loss of monies, compared that to African-American reparations, Jewish reparations, Japanese reparations. You weren't even sure they were Japanese. You called them Chinese.
Well, excuse me.
Yeah, how...
Okay.
I'm not clear on the comparison that can be made, actually.
The point is that these guys are, you know, everybody gets their money, but we don't. How come? That's all I don't...
There's a thing called moral and ethics, I think, that
comes
to mind quickly.
I hate to say this, but I might as well bring it up. You know that a lot of Jewish guys were mostly the, shall we say, agents for the sale of some of these slaves? So you might owe me some money, too.
Why is that?
Uh-huh.
Because it's fraudulent.
How do you figure fraudulent?
I would like to see that
data. If your family sold my family slaves and then they go away,
how many Jews were here in the 1860s?
A lot.
Seriously.
A lot of them. There were tons, and a lot of them
sold. There were not tons.
I think a Jewish guy sold my family the slave, and now it's the same thing as if you get sold a broken thing.
Well, you know, I can't speak for that period of time as far as the Jews go, but when you're making comparisons to the Holocaust, that's what I'm taking issue with. You have a difficult time staying topical.
No, I'm simply saying your family might have sold my family.
I hope actually they put you on the witness stand because you're going to be a fine witness.
Well, I think your family sold me.
You can't really stay on
top. If your family sold my family the slave that got to go, then your family owes for damaged goods. what do they call it, Mr. Henry?
Let's talk, let's keep, let's
it's
keep
called,
the whole
it's
Holocaust
called,
thing.
Let's false arrest or something Holocaust like that.
What do you mean, false arrest? All right, look at Terry, I got to run. How much longer are we going to take calls for this jackass?
Call me a jackass, huh?
Well, I look it. Any more calls that I should go to? I should go. We need to break, though. My engineer is saying, all right, let's break, and we'll go to another call. 1-800-4...
I don't be like being called a jackass, Mr. Henry.
What do you mean, false arrest? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pull your head out of your ass, plug into the world. The Phil Henry Show is back.
That's exactly what he said.
Say that again. So you have correspondence that says your uncle, your great-great-uncle...
This was my great-great-great-uncle, yes, who said in correspondence that we deserve something from the federal government, and we're going to get it, and the quote is, if it hair-lips everyone on Bear Creek. So
if it hair-lips everyone on Bear Creek, they deserve money.
Yeah.
Here is Susan. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Sir. My point is that we are privileged to live in America today. We earn our own money. We earn it today for the needs that we have today. No one owes us anything. You're responsible for yourself. So you're a grocer. Go back to doing grocery. Earn the money for your family. Spend the money on your family. But don't expect somebody else to take care of yourself or to contribute. You are responsible for yourself and nobody else.
Well, my family got screwed. I mean, we got screwed out of a nice piece of change. And you heard what my uncle said, if it hair lips everyone on Bear Creek.
Well, I'm sorry. I think your uncle and you both must have some serious issues, and I feel very bad for you because...
So in other words, you're calling me nuts.
What attorney in his right mind took this case?
Why, when the blacks left, and my great uncle is standing there at the end of the driveway going, well, thank you very much. Hey, he's standing there with an empty pot and a whip, which is unfortunate.
He's standing there with a whip?
Well, it's unfortunate, but who is he going to whip?
Wow.
What do you mean, wow?
You do have some serious issues. Well, your
look,
uncle,
you've heard the term hair-lip everyone on Bear Creek, haven't you?
No, and you know what? I'm a white female from Tennessee, and
do you live anywhere near Bear Creek?
That.
You've never... Do you live anywhere near Bear Creek?
No, I don't.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Here's Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
We have another by request flashback for you this hour. We also have our friend Jeff Dowder on with another edition of Wouldn't It Be Funny If. Jeff is alternately a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech, or he's driving a snowplow in Manhattan Beach. It depends on, I guess, his frame of mind and certainly how many chemicals he's introduced into his system over the weekend. Another visit from Comb Over Boy. We'll also have Chef Carl Chedilia on the show tonight here on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. I want to tell you two things. First of all, we're going to be in Tucson, Arizona in February. There's our first personal appearance since we went to Salt Lake City. And we're also, of course, doing our holiday request show this Thursday. Please call with your request. Don't email, because I've had a lot of people emailing saying, oh, I got an idea for the request on Thursday. No, we're taking it by phone, okay? Oh, okay, but I don't have a phone, so can I please... I don't want the email request. You got a computer, but you don't have a phone, huh? Right, I don't like talking to human beings. I just like being in chat rooms and pretending like I'm talking to them.
I don't know who I'm talking to then, you know. Telephones are kind of a good thing, because at least you know that if it says a 18-year-old female, you know you're actually speaking with an 18-year-old, well, somebody close to an 18-year-old female, or a guy doing a really good female voice, as opposed to a computer chat room where she may say she's an 18-year-old female, but she may be 55 and male. Anyway, that will be our holiday request show on the 23rd. Now, I want to tell you, on Saturday night, we had our office Christmas party, and a remarkable thing happened. A remarkable thing happened Saturday night. In order for me to tell you what a remarkable thing this was, I have to give you some background. Some of you have heard this background. Some of you have heard some of the background, but not all of you have heard all of the background. So let me tell all of you what the background is, and then I'll give you the story of what happened Saturday night at the Christmas party, which was, by the way, held at the beautiful Beverly Wilshire Hotel on Wilshire Boulevard in Beverly Hills, California.
Beverly Hills, that's so bitchin'.
Thank you, bud. Anyway, so years ago, I was working in Miami, Florida, and I'm not trying not to draw this out, man, okay? You know, this is not, I ain't doing the comb over boy show. You're like, years ago, when I was a guy, you know, and it'll take you 9 years to get a sentence out, and the next thing you know, boom, your 4 hour show's over. Anyway, so years ago when I was working on the air in Miami, Florida, I did a radio show similar to the one I'm doing now. It was a satirical and comedy-driven show. Now, I was on WIOD, and we were the flagship station for the Miami Dolphins. In 1995, the Dolphins were having a very rough season. I believe it was the last season that Coach Don Shula would be with them. And they were losing some critical games, although now, if I were in Miami, I'd pray for those days. They were, you know, that's when Marino was still playing, and the team was always competitive, as opposed to, even though they had a good game, what was it, last night, they kicked the Pats' ass. Nice going, Patriots. So anyway, years ago, I'm on in Miami, and they had a player by the name of Brian Cox, and who was a all-pro linebacker, and this man was given to many displays on the field of anger, he was a very exuberant and at sometimes, shall we say, inappropriate player. He was fined by the league for flipping off the fans in Buffalo. He'd run out of the tunnel with his fingers up in the air. He was fined by the league for throwing his helmet. Many of you who are football fans know the name Brian Cox. Wore one of those big neck rolls. Big, big dude. Played outside linebacker. They moved him to a middle linebacker position. And he was given to all of these displays, so I naturally... And then he went on the air at one of our competitors. He went on the air at WQAM Sports Radio, doing an hour-long show that was up against the last hour of my show on IOD. So naturally, I had to do something about that, so I started the Brian Cox Show. And the Brian Cox Show was just me doing a black guy voice, really. Yeah, I'm Brian Cox. You know, I wish Dan Marino get rid of that Jerry Curl. You know, he's looking back. You know, whatever. And so I did this... And the word got back to Brian, and he didn't like it. Because I didn't disclaim things in those days. I just said, hi, I'm Brian Cox. I figured anybody stupid enough to think it was really him, you know. And, you know, I would come on and say, hi, I'm Mark Furman, and I just don't like blacks. You know, and just people would think I was interviewing him. So what? So sue me. It was basically my philosophy. Well, guess what happened? Brian Cox was being interviewed after a particular Miami Dolphin game one night, and our color guy for the Miami Dolphins, a nice guy by the name of Jim Mandich, walked up to him, and they had just beaten the Chargers down in San Diego, and this was on the air, was the post-game show for the Dolphins, and Brian looked at the microphone, which had a WIOD, what we call a flag. I'm sure you've seen microphones, and it has the station call letters on the microphone. That's what we call a mic flag. And he looked down at the flag, and he said, is this WIOD? And Jim said, oh, yeah, it is, Brian. Jim Mandich had one of these voices I love. The way the Dolphins are playing tonight, you know. And Brian looked at that and he says, well, you can suck my bleep on the air over the Dolphin Network. Is it WIOD? He goes, yeah, suck my bleep. So the next day I came on the air and I said, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Cox came out of the closet last night. He is a homosexual. He and Hank Goldberg will be getting married. And Hank Goldberg was the guy that co-hosted his show with him. And I was sued by Mr. Cox for $15 million. And he also said some very personal things concerning his family, you know, that it was hurtful to his wife at the time and this and that. So I was sued by him. And the company I worked for was sued, $15 million. And this went into what is mandated by the courts. They insist that before these lawsuits go forward, that the parties sit down and see if the principals can get together and something can be worked out. So I flew down by that time, but when that rolled around, I had moved to Los Angeles. I flew to Miami with my new wife, Maria, and I sat down with Brian Cox, and he was very angry. And at the time, he said, if my attorney wasn't with me, I'd come right across the table on this guy. Now, you're talking about Phil Hendry, who's 6 foot, Brian Cox, 6'6", Phil Hendry at the time, 210, Brian Cox, 873 pounds. And was very angry and extremely, just extremely put out by this whole act that I'd done. So there was bad blood, because I sat there and I said to him, Mr. Cox, I want to apologize to you if it hurt your family, but this is the nature of my show. However, I can see where I probably may have stepped over the line, so on and so forth. He didn't want to hear it. He wanted me fired. And so the bad blood started, and I had every bit as much animosity toward him as he had toward me. As a matter of fact, I had that animosity all the way up until Saturday night, when guess what happened? As I walk into the grand, spacious ballroom there at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel, many star-studded people there, myself, Jim Rome, Casey Kasem, George Norrie, and myself. As I walked in there, the vice president of Fox Sports, got a name by Andrew Ashwood, walks up to me, hell of a nice guy. I've always liked Andrew. He was the program director in Miami, by the way, when Brian Cox was working there. And he takes me by the arm. He says, Phil, I want you to meet Brian Cox. And as I turn around, I'm standing there staring at this guy, 18 feet high, 4,000 feet wide, and he says, honey, he sees me, Mr. Cox, Phil Hendry, he says, yeah, honey, and he gets his wife, he says, this is the guy that said I was gay on the radio, and he's got a smile on his face, and he introduces me to his wife, who's gorgeous, I mean beautiful. And I said, are you the new Mrs. Cox? Because I knew that the old Mrs. Cox would have ripped my throat out. She said, honey, I am the best Mrs. Cox. And I said, well, it's nice to meet anybody other than the other Mrs. Cox. And I shook her hand, and he laughed, and he shook my hand. And I said, well, you know, it's what I kind of do for a living. He goes, I know. And he said, I said, so you're doing good. You're on TV. He says, I'm over at Fox Sports. He's doing a TV gig, and he's into broadcasting. And as the evening had wound down, I walked outside and I saw his wife standing there. And I said, well, I got to tell you, it was nice meeting you. And she said, I want to tell you something. Brian tells me that it was that experience in Miami that got him to pursue his extra football career more diligently and kind of got him serious about what he was going to do after football. So I guess I'm responsible for changing his life. No, I'm kidding. I just, I was very grateful that all of a sudden what had been years, man, I mean, from 1995 to, you know, the other night, of real serious bad blood, I didn't know that the cat had chilled out, you know, because I had always said that if I had enough money, I would hire someone to kill him. I'm joking. I'm kidding. No, but I just, my best instincts were that this is, I always felt, and it really fueled my attitude, that there was this entitled athlete thing that I always raged against. It was from that experience. But I met him the other night, and he was a very gracious guy.
Why don't you tell everyone how you really feel? You know sports players as broadcasters. You don't like them.
I don't want to talk about that right now, bud.
Yeah, all right. What an honest guy you is.
Well, one thing we know for sure, man, you're a quality broadcaster.
Why you say that?
What a great guy you is. No, you're right. I don't like football players as broadcasters. But I'll tell you this much. If they're going to get their job in broadcasting, then they should just be the amateurs that they are, learn from the big boys, and don't, just leave the freaking attitude at the door is all I ask. Some guy over at Fox want to hire you. Some guy over at NBC going to hire you. Good for you, all right? Your name is Dan Marino. Your name is Brian Cox. Whatever. You're going to get a big job. It's fine. Just leave your freaking sports attitude at the door. You ain't a player anymore. You're a broadcaster. That means you have to, you have to learn the trade. So that's the story.
Did you tell Cox to get your drink and do a dance for you on the way to the bar?
Hey, bud, I noticed something.
You're going to hit me.
No, I swear to God. I just noticed something on your...
Hey, missed me, didn't you? Oh!
Yeah, I didn't expect that one, no.
But I danced away from it.
Yeah, you didn't dance quick enough. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up is Jeff Dowder with Wouldn't It Be Funny? And we also have a request, which is coming up in just a second. But to wrap up this whole story about Brian Cox, some people want to know, well, now, what exactly was he suing you for? Because I said he was gay on the air. He sued me for slander. And he also sued for misappropriation of likeness for commercial purposes because I was doing his voice on the air and not really disclaiming that it wasn't Brian Cox. Probably that was the best of the two aspects of the lawsuit. He might have had a case there, in my opinion, because I was misappropriating his likeness for commercial purpose, but you have to prove that the guy made money. I did it like twice. The other one was for slander. And slander is, and this is why I'm so well-versed in the law, and I know what I can do on the air, and I know what I can't do on the air because of these experiences I've had, but the law says anything that's untrue is slander. I might say, for instance, that Chris Pelton is the greatest guy I've ever met. Well, that's an obvious lie. So, no, but, it, you know, to say that Brian Cox was gay based upon this comment that he made to Jim Manage about WID can go and suck, you know, blankety blank, was obvious satire. You know, when a guy says that, it's a hostile remark. It has nothing to do with his orientation. However, I took that and turned it a little bit. But he sued. If I were him, I would have done the same thing probably. And so here we come on Wednesday, on Saturday night, and Chris said to me here during the break, he said, how do you know the guy wasn't going to just kill you, man? I mean, I said, you know, it was Andrew Ashwood, and I trusted when he said, hey, why don't you turn around, man, Brian Cox, I want you to meet this guy. For some reason, I trust Andrew Ashwood. Why? The guy's a broadcast executive. What is wrong with me? What is it about you, Andrew, that I trust when I wouldn't trust the rest of that group as far as I could throw the lot of them together? And I can't even throw you, man. All right, anyway, do we have the flashback? Do we have enough time for the flashback? Bud?
I don't know. Let me take a look. Let me count up the seconds. 2 plus 3.
Oh, never mind. Here it is. Hola, Phil. I'm a loyal backstage pass holder in Portland, Maine, who is sadly only able to listen to a meager 2 hours of your program per day over the air. I would like to request from last Thanksgiving one of your characters wanting to secure it as a white holiday, saying that blacks and minorities should proceed to work as usual on Turkey Day because they really have nothing to be thankful for. This sketch rates as one of my all-time favorites and one I've used to hook people on your show. They had a permanent home on my iPod until a friend of mine got hammered and urinated on it during a blackout miswalk to the bathroom. Thank you so very deeply. Yours in the struggle, Andrew. Thank you, Andrew. Here it is from last Thanksgiving, some sick, twisted thing.
I just have a comment for the gentleman that you have on the phone right now.
Yes, Mr. Griego?
This is Mr. Griego, yes.
I am biracial, which means that I am half black and half white. Okay?
Well, that means black.
I'm also mixed with other nationalities. If you are in America, you are American, which means that Thanksgiving is for anybody. It means you're giving thanks
for what?
That day.
For what?
Not thanks because you're white.
Wait a minute.
Because being white does not make you special.
What is
it? Does
no.
not make you any better than anybody else.
I didn't say it.
It doesn't mean that you should have a
but
day.
What have
yourself.
You got to be thankful for?
I have a lot to be thankful for.
You're black.
First of all, I get up every morning and I breathe. Okay?
Big
That's
deal.
One thing to be thankful for.
Big deal. You need a day for that to celebrate that? I'm talking
I
about
I get that every day. I don't need a day for that. I get that every
right.
day.
So what do you need Thanksgiving
you are,
for?
Let me tell you, you are what's called a hidden racist. Okay?
Oh,
you
brother. See, I knew it had come
you
down to that.
You use excuses to hide your racism. Right. And if I was your daughter, I wouldn't even want to have Thanksgiving with you.
Well, my wife says grace.
That's, I wouldn't right. celebrate nothing because
right,
you're not worth it.
All right, now hold on. All right, your daughter, your son-in-law,
is black.
Well, look, what I'm trying to say and what this lady I don't think heard, if you're black in America, what have you got to be thankful for, right? Now, if you want to be thankful that you breathe, you can do that every day, as the lady indicated. I'm not a racist. I'm just saying Thanksgiving's basically for white people.
It's
Christmas
not
is for
white
black people.
I don't
and
see
Easter...
anywhere in any history book that says Thanksgiving is dedicated to white people.
Well, you know it is.
It's
you know
called
that it
Thanksgiving.
Is.
It's not thankful for white people.
Can I ask you something?
It's called Thanksgiving, period.
Can I ask you one thing? Can I ask you one thing?
Sure.
All right. Can't white people have one day where we don't have you people around?
Let me tell you something. White people had about 100 years of one day when you're upset of being enslaved black folks.
How
white
come?
People had a whole bunch of time.
Yeah, but why do
you
I got to
sit? Being enslaved Jews. Y'all had your day a long time ago.
Well, how come I got to
okay?
sit down and break bread with you people? All I want to.
Well, see, now there you go.
You people.
Why do you think no one eats dark meat?
You're not racist.
Wait a
that
second.
That's not the most racist comment
absolutely.
I have ever heard.
No, no. I'm you trying people. To see. See, you won't let me say what I'm trying to say. Can I have. What I'm saying is. Can I just have one day where it's just white people?
You need one day. You had your
See,
day.
See, that's what I'm saying. You guys want to butt in on everything.
For your one day.
Ma'am.
For your one of many days.
See, the lady is making a point, and the point is that the white man had dominance, and...
Well, wait a minute. I got... Back in 1955, we opened up a place called Disneyland. It took 2 weeks before the first black guy came in. What?
If you didn't want to have Thanksgiving, right?
Who's that?
If you don't want to have Thanksgiving
with us... You see what I'm saying?
You
guys can't.
Why did you bring our asses over from Africa?
To service...
If you didn't want to have Thanksgiving with us, you should have kept us
Well, wait a minute. We did bring you over from Africa to serve us Thanksgiving dinner, not to sit down and eat it with us.
Wait a minute. Oh, boy. By request from last Thanksgiving, Art Griego. Haven't heard from Art in a while. Why'd you bring our asses over from Africa? To serve us Thanksgiving dinner, not to sit down with us. What a racist.
He's pretty funny.
I don't approve of you approving of bits like that, bud.
How come?
Because you're a freaking racist, too. 1-800-449-8686. That's right, sit there and sulk. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Dodders, Wouldn't It Be Funny? Coming up, Comb Over Boy, Chef Carl Chedilia. Tomorrow night, we got Bobby Dooley on the Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our All Request show on December the 23rd. All Request by phone. Got to call in for those guys. We'll be in Tucson, Arizona, I think, in February. I think we've got another personal appearance coming up as well. Somewhere in town, man. We got to do a CD signing. That's the closest personal appearance I got is February 6th. And the Best of Phil Henry Show 2004 CD. I just got two boxes of these. And they are a beautiful thing, man. Order it online at www.philhenryshow.com or call 877-616-7445. Use your plastic and pick it up. All the money goes to my friend's place.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Comb over, boy. Los Angeles, it's the Comb Over Boy Show.
Hello, everybody. Hello, America. This is the Comb Over Boy Show. Not your typical talk show, no.
not hosted by a right-wing wacko or convicted felon. I am your host. See? I'm your host. It's a different kind of talk show with a different kind of point of view. Now, you give us a call right here at 1-800. Blow me, blow me up, whatever. And not a lot to talk to you about here on the program. Because, you know, we do Comb Over 101. And what I try to do is let you guys out there know the things that I've learned.
Draw it out a little bit more, will you, Comb Over, because you've got a four-hour show.
While out there in the dating world. And, hold on just a minute. Yeah?
Yeah, you're not drawing out your words a little, but draw them out.
I am.
Perfect.
Want to talk to you here this afternoon.
By the Comb Over Boys Show.
About something that I've learned. Now, here's something that I can't stand, and I know there's millions and millions of men out there listening right now who join me in this opinion. Don't you just hate it? And it really bothers me when I've got a drug and rape an elderly invalid that lives in the apartment next door just to get some Christmas cookie. I mean, what happened to the old days when you could just go to the old folks' home, get all the sex you want without having to drug anybody? One of the problems is drugs are very expensive now. They're not cheap like they used to be. I was talking to my very dear friend, Norm Pattis.
Who's the head of the Westwood One Radio Network.
And he agreed that I should talk about it on the air. Just kidding. All we ever do is hug each other. I never really talk to him. He just hugs me and goes, oh, you're so original. So give me a call right here on the Comb Over Show. Don't you know what I'm talking about? Of course you do. You know what I'm talking about. Why can't you just get some Christmas nookie from the elderly without having to drug them? Especially those ones in the wheelchairs, which, of course, most guys like. Because I know so much about guys here on Comb Over 101. Let's go to a call here. Betty, how are you? Betty is calling us. What's up, Betty?
Thank you, I'm over here. How are you?
Do you care?
Yep, I suppose. I don't know. When you say you drug old people, I mean, like, really old people?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean, right?
Not really.
What are you, are you gay? Are you queer?
No, I don't want to have sex with an old lady. Especially one in a wheelchair.
Well, let me tell you something. If you haven't had sex with an invalid against her will in a wheelchair, you're just letting the best part of life pass you by.
Really?
Right. You go to Comb Over 101 on my website. I'll tell you all about it, all right?
I guess.
All right. I'm sure he's going to figure it out. You just go to my website. I've got all these things there. Comb Over 101, sex with children, invalids. One-legged Mexican women. These kinds of things. Guys know what I'm talking about, right, guys? What do you think, Belly?
I'm not... I'm not getting anything you're saying, pal. I am definitely frightened of you, okay? And I didn't even call to talk to you. I wanted to talk to Howard Stern. Hello?
Comb Over Boy Show.
Man, that's heavy stuff. Metallica, Enter Sandman? When you hear music like that, you just know the show you're about to hear is hip. Or at least the next best thing to have in a hip show is really good bumper music. I always love those shows that start out with a guy, you know, and then the host comes on and says something like,
yeah, hi, everybody. Gonna do a talk show.
1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show. Listen, we have Chef Carl Cedilia. What's his story today? Well, we don't know, but he's going to have some kind of a recipe that he's going to lay on us. Chef Carl Cedilia coming up on the Phil Henry Show later on. And a couple of things happened this past. I want to tell you one thing. Can I just say something right now? Maria and I are fine. Thank you very much for your email. We're fine. It's life, baby. It's life. You know what I mean by life? Life is the thing, as they say, that happens to you when you're getting ready to do something else. It's life. You know, I mean, sometimes you have a little falling out. Sometimes you're not together. Sometimes we're doing great. We are a married couple, and we're going through the process that married couples sometimes go through. And let me, at this particular point, apologize profusely to Chris and Catherine. I want to just apologize to you guys. I just want to say I'm sorry. All right? And I love you very much. Very, very much. Okay? But we're doing great, and you can cease and desist with your email. Not that I don't mind, that I don't want to hear from you guys. I mean, I love hearing from you guys. But all the stuff with the, are you okay? Do you need, can we push some soup under the door? I'm okay. You know, I'm not suicidal. Went out to the Christmas party on Saturday night as I drove through the streets of Beverly Hills there with the festive lighting and the, let's hear those sleigh bells ding-a-ling, ding-ding. And you're hearing that song. And, you know, yes, sure, a few tears kind of squirted, but I was fine. Everything was good, man. Everybody's cool at the party. And what happened was, you know, a very beautiful young lady was stalking me throughout the night. I don't mean stalking, but she and I were, you know, I had just enough drinks in me where I would, you know, kind of talk to her. And some of the women here at the, not that I wouldn't talk to her if I was sober, but I'm saying, you know, I was fine. But some of the women here from the office at the party were like monitoring my behavior. You should have seen this. Every now and again, I'd look up and I'd see, I don't know, Debbie or one of them just kind of, dun, 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 you know, the eyeballs kind of going right into you. And I swear to God, it was the funniest thing. I was talking to this beautiful chick, and I look up, and there are like four sets of eyes, all of them female, all co-workers of mine here, just. So then we hung out, and we went into the bar, had a couple of belts with some of the people that were lingering, and I had a room, a hotel room, and I had a little balcony that overlooks Los Angeles, so a few folks came upstairs with us, and we kind of sat out there, and a lot of these guys are not from Los Angeles. Some of them, we were up there with Van Earl Wright. Some of you may know he's the morning man on Fox Sports Network. He's also was on television, does sports, nice man, great guy. And he's a native of Atlanta. He was up there with his wife, and they were looking at the lights of the town. And was up there with Andy Ashwood and his fiance.
No, she was on a Wheel of Fortune.
Who?
Van Earl Wright.
Are you a moron? Are you?
No, she was on a Wheel of Fortune, you idiot.
Don't you call me an idiot. Don't you think I know who I was up in my hotel room with?
Get up there with Van Earl Wright, and you're on your side of fortune.
Will you slow down, you slobbering idiot? I was up with Van Earl Wright, not Vanna freaking White, Jackball.
Well, you lost me.
Well, oh, did I lose you? I didn't know it. Look at this. Here he goes. He's calling now.
Yeah, because I told him you're being mean.
What are you doing?
Does he got to call you every time I...
What are you making fun of him again? I told you he's slow, okay? The kid don't get it. You got to talk slow for him. Say it again.
Say what again? I'm talking to my...
You gotta say... Don't say stuff so fast.
I said I was up in a hotel room with Van Earl Wright.
What a queer.
Yeah, that's what I was...
No, what is that supposed to mean?
I was up in a hotel room with...
Van Earl Wright and his wife and a bunch of other people.
Who?
Van Earl Wright.
And then I said, ain't he on Wheel of Fortune?
Ain't he on... Did you get that?
But Vanna White was a chick.
Oh, all right.
Thanks, David.
Every time I got to call you guys, you piss me off.
1-800... You're a... You. Anyway, so we're up there and we're talking. I mean, it was really cool. And where am I going with this, bud?
I don't know, man. I'm thinking of Vanna Earl Wright and her legs.
God, I tell you what you do, man. You send her a freaking fan letter that says, Dear Van Earl, and see if she writes back. Van Earl writes the cat that's on radio.
and Andy Ashwood up there. We had a pretty good time, but I'm good. Everything's good with Maria and I, and I do apologize to Chris and Catherine, and let me tell you something. Having said that twice, I just want to say one thing. I understand about kids. I get it about kids. Kids talk. But if I ever find out that there are adults out there repeating stuff to people that I love out of context and really not giving it the meaning that it was intended, and I know who those people are, I'm going to be very upset. Not you, Chris. I'm not. Look at poor Chris. Is in there. Did I do it? No, man, not you. You don't even talk to my family, do you? They won't let you in the neighborhood, will they? I'll just be very upset. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm, you know, I'm not a violent man, but...
Was it me?
I don't know. Have you... No, it wasn't you. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Dowder coming up next on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Time now for Jeff Dowder with Wouldn't It Be Funny If. And let me just say something right off the bat, Mr. Dowder. What's with this music?
Well, the other thing, Wouldn't Be Funny If, just want to have like a carnival-esque. I want to have something that had a carnival feel to it.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't want to piss you off or anything.
I'm not pissed. You can fade it out now, bud. You can fade it out now, bud.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I wanted something, Mr. Henry, that bespoke a carnival-esque sort of a festive thing here on Wouldn't It Be Funny If with Jeff Dowder.
Okay, go ahead, man.
Okay, hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Dowder, and welcome to Wouldn't It Be Funny If. And today we got a pretty pretty funny things to think about. First of all, and Mr. Henry, you can join in on all this just to kind of, you know, join with us, Mr. Henry, on, well, isn't it kind of cool, you know, if this happened. You know, it would be funny.
Okay.
I mean, don't you think it would be kind of cool and funny if someone went to every Walmart store in the world and changed the W to a B? It'd be kind of cool and funny, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's bitching.
Tame the what?
Change the W to a B.
The W to... Ballmart.
that's awesome.
See, yeah, I guess that would be funny if everybody goes around and changes the W to a B.
Yeah. Also... Don't you think it'd be funny if Pope John Paul misspelled Pope on a DMV application and it said Poop John Paul? It's just stuff I think about and muse about on Wouldn't It Be Funny If.
Yeah, that'd be really a riot, man.
Poop John Paul.
Yeah, you ever heard that song? We
Will you spit it out, please?
Yeah, have you ever heard that song, the We Sailed on the Sloop John B?
Yeah, what if they changed sloop to poop?
Yeah, what if they misspelled that?
Yeah, you're right, man. What if they missed Poop John B? Poop John B, great.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, what if I was born and I had no head?
I don't get it.
Neither do I.
Well, don't you think that'd be funny?
Anyway, wouldn't it be funny if all the mall Santas around the country picked up the kid that is usually on their lap, put the kid in the big red velvet chair, and then they sat on the kid and peed on them. Isn't that kind of funny?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Hey, bud, don't comment on everything. It's not your show. Yeah, that'd be very funny.
Okay, so wouldn't it be funny?
Yes, it's very funny if the Santa Claus sat on the kid and peed on him.
All right, if you took a mannequin dressed as Santa, coated it with fake blood, put it out in front of a church with, like, Metallica playing in the background, and then lit it on fire. Wouldn't that be cool?
What are you talking about?
Wouldn't it be funny?
A fake Santa, a mannequin Santa coated in blood and set on fire.
In front of a church.
Yeah. Ha 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 ha.
Also, Wouldn't it be funny if you went to the mall, Santa, and told them that you'd like your mommy and your daddy back for Christmas, but that'd be hard because you ate them? I'm Jeff Dotter.
Get out of here. Yeah, welcome to Jeff Dotter's Wouldn't It Be Funny If, a presentation of the Mobile Corporation. So the only one there that I actually laughed at was the Walmart being changed to Ballmart. Other than that, the rest of it is poo or poop John Paul. 1-800-449-8686. Say, friends, I got a big announcement to make at the top. That ain't a big announcement. I just want to say something after the top of the hour concerning this radio show and another radio show that continues to lift our act. And I'm not going to, it's everything's good. But I want to mention that. And the other thing is I want to mention some of the email that we've gotten to Bill Hemmett show on Friday. Really got extreme response in both directions. Worst thing I've ever heard on your show or the funniest thing I've ever heard on your show. All it was just playing goofy disc jockey for a few minutes. I mean, we started playing music. But, you know, by God, do something different on a talk station other than play, talk, and people suddenly, they're knocked off kilter, man. Their world is rocked. So we started at the show playing music. So some dudes all, oh, man, that was the worst radio I've ever heard. And other people were saying it was pretty cool. So I like that. I will say this, though. The email from radio people is so obvious. A lot of you guys that work in the business and you're emailing me, you're giving yourselves away. I know you don't think I know that you work in the business. You're giving yourselves away a little bit. There's certain telltale signs. And I got to be the only radio show in the world that actually gets hate mail from other radio personalities. Can you believe that? But I'm getting it. Keep that email coming, oh baby. PHS@philhenryshow.com. PHS@philhenryshow.com. Chef Carl Cedilia coming up next hour on a world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
And now, America, the talk show host who is firm in his conviction and will not be swayed. I will not be swayed. Colonel Buck Negro. Good evening, America. I'm Colonel Buck Negro, and welcome to our program, I Will Not Be Swayed.
He will not be swayed.
That's right. When I say I believe something, by gum, by golly, I stick with it. And I'm telling you tonight, Scott Peterson should die. Die for the crime he committed against his wife and unborn child. Scott Peterson is a murderer. Murderer. And that guy should go to the death house, strapped into the chair, and have the pill dropped on him. Let's go to the phones, see what you think here. Colonel Buck Negro.
Hi, Colonel. This is Reverend Paisley. I wanted to tell you that the death penalty, while it is certainly a efficient way of doing away with criminals, there is absolutely no real justification. Nothing in the literature shows that it deters murder. And so, therefore, I think it's a very bad idea.
Thank you. I don't think the death penalty should be applied to Scott Peterson. I'll tell you why. The fact of the matter... Well, see, now I'm not sure. Let's go to another call. Mary?
Yes, Colonel, I think the death penalty is entirely appropriate. I think that it is a safety issue, really, and to do away with the life of a murderer is certainly not going to deter crime, but as a safety issue, at least eliminates that one individual.
All right. So, in other words, you're saying...
Colonel, this is the Reverend again. This woman is full of beeswax. First of all...
No, don't you curse at me.
I'm not cursing. I'm simply saying...
Well, wait a minute. I want to say, first of all, do you think...
Why don't you shut up?
Now, what were you saying?
I think that the death penalty is wrong, and here's why. Number one, the...
No, you said that you thought it was right, and I think it's wrong.
Well, I think that the death...
Shut your...
Would you please be quiet? Is it Colonel Buck Nugent?
Negro!
I think that really...
No, here's what... Listen, you skank.
Skank, am I? Are you...
I want to say... Colonel Buck Negro is fired. Look, I want to talk about the situation with Glenn Beck, and
I don't want you talking about it.
But don't you understand what he did? He came on the air, and he...
Oh, quit your crying about Glenn Beck, will you? All the guy did was do a program director bit where he was playing the voice of the program director, and the program director was giving him crap. Why? Where have you heard that before?
Oh, well, that's just the point. That's just the point.
You're imagining things.
I'm imagining things. What am I doing right now?
Talking to a made-up voice.
Right. And who are you?
The program director.
That's what he did.
You know what I need for you to do? I need you to calm down. Take a few days. Go out to the desert. Lie in the sun. Take a spa treatment. Get one of them European facials.
I don't need a European facial. I'm trying to tell you that
I want you to calm down before you get yourself into some serious hot water, young man. Serious hot water. And I say young man advisedly on account of I'm younger than you. The fact of the matter remains, Mr. Beck is simply trying to improve the quality of his program at your expense. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Nothing more about it, Phil.
Guy on the air making up the voice of a program director, pretending that something he does it, and that he's on in San Francisco and I'm not. And, yes, sir?
Shut up!
Martha Stewart decorating the inside like she did the outside. The minute she was indicted, the jokes began. Martha Stewart behind bars. Martha Stewart decorates her cell. Well, guess what? That's exactly what she's doing at Alderson Federal Prison Camp in West Virginia, where Stewart's serving a 5-month sentence for lying to investigators. She has 75 days left to go before she leaves Alderson, and now she's getting the chance to do on the inside what she did on the outside. The prison goes all out for the inmates, said Crisa Gonzalez, a former inmate, where Christmas at Alderson has now been taken under the wing of Martha Stewart. There's going to be, rum punches, a gift giving, a big green tree, and lights. You know, maybe I had that woman all wrong. I think that's pretty cool. I'm not making fun of that in the least. Why not do what you know, okay? Do it. For instance, if I were thrown in prison...
What would you do, a radio show or something?
I guess.
What if they didn't have a radio station?
I guess I'd just walk around with a microphone and talk to guys. Like a bullhorn. You gotta do what you do, man. You gotta know what you know. Do what you know how to do. She's going to be there in prison. I don't know. There might be a few of them inmates that aren't exactly, into floating candles in a swimming pool. If she's going to be making, bird feeders out of coffee cans? But you know what? It might be a cool thing. Remember the Birdman of Alcatraz? Some guy, you know, that Birdman of Alcatraz, by the way, wasn't he some sort of a serial murderer? I mean, he wasn't a very nice guy. I forget his name, Robert Stroud. Those of you who may not know who he was. What are you saying, bud?
Nothing.
Say that.
I don't want it.
I said to say what you just said to Mark.
I said you could prison rape yourself.
How dare you?
Well, you torture yourself all the time.
Yeah, Mr. Hall.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You could prison rape yourself.
Thank you. Anyway, the Birdman of Alcatraz was this guy, I don't know, I think he like burned down an orphanage with like a million kids in it, but everybody got a real soft spot in their heart. Why? Because the guy... When he was in prison at Alcatraz, would feed birds and became very familiar with birds and eventually became one of the world's renowned experts on birds from inside his jail cell there at Alcatraz. And they made a movie out of this thing called The Birdman of Alcatraz with Burt Lancaster. And I don't think the movie ever dealt with what this guy Stroud actually did. Didn't he like hold up a gas station or something? Or I don't know what it was. Either he burned down an orphanage or he stuck up a gas station and slaughtered everybody that came in for a fill-up. But in any event, you know, you never hear about that stuff. Now, like Martha Stewart. If only she was in prison for something more serious, like, for instance, I don't know, it wasn't so much that she lied to investigators that she, like, murdered a few of them. Robert Stroud, this is why the guy was in prison. He murdered a bartender who had allegedly failed to pay a prostitute for whom Stroud was pimping in Alaska. After shooting the bartender to death, Stroud took the man's wallet to ensure that he and the prostitute would receive compensation for her services.
Who? Martha Stewart?
No, not Martha Stewart, man. Robert Stroud.
I thought he was the guy that made cupcakes float in a swimming pool.
That ain't him. That's Martha Stewart. He studied birds. So he shot some guy. Just to watch him die. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Speaking of prison, Harvey Wireman will join us in just a moment to talk about Scott Peterson. And take a few phone calls as to what Mr. Peterson may or may not have to expect in prison. And let me tell you something right now. Peterson's going to San Quentin, baby. San Quentin, which is hardcore. Is that a federal prison? I don't even know. All I know is that it, the sound of the place. At least Alcatraz has a sound like, oh yeah, an island. You get it to go over there and take a tour. And there was a birdman there once. San Quentin sounds like San Quentin. Johnny Cash, jail rape, and like cats wearing those dashikis. 1-800-449-8686. Tomorrow night, Bobby Dooley on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Harvey Wireman joins us. Harvey is an attorney at law. He's also a man who has done a great deal of criminal defense work and has been a criminal defense attorney at different times throughout his career, and is going to join us on the line here from San Marino, California. And Mr. Wireman, did you know, I was just talking about the movie Birdman of Alcatraz.
Yes, I was familiar with the movie, but Robert Strudel?
Robert Stroud.
Stroud was a very difficult inmate. You have to understand, this man was convicted of murdering not only the bartender, but he also murdered, in the full view of 1,100 other inmates, a guard
Leavenworth. Wasn't it Leavenworth?
Leavenworth. And this is a bad dude. So anyway, he's transferred
Alcatraz. What, you're an attorney, man. You must have, you were practicing, Alcatraz was...
Absolutely, yeah. But don't tell me my business, okay?
No, but I mean, it's called Alcatraz.
Right, but I've got a condition, an allergy that causes the phlegm in my throat to turn into a good-sized cheese ball. And so...
Well, why does that make it tough to say Alcatraz?
Didn't say it did. I just wanted you to know that I have a cheese log wedged.
That's very nice. So anyway, Robert Stroud, you were saying.
Yeah, so Robert Stroud, by the time he got to Al's house?
Alcatraz.
Was already under a life sentence for murder. Now, here's another thing. All right, it was the death penalty, see? But then Robert Stroud's mother contacted the president at that time. Woodrow Wilson, and he commuted the death sentence, or the life sentence, the death sentence to life, and then they sent him to
Alcatraz.
To Alcatraz, yeah.
How do you get alley-oop out of Alcatraz?
I'm trying the best I can, Mr. Andrew. I'm not that young.
All right.
So then he gets to this place, and he finds in the yard out there in general population a canary, and he began caring for it because it was injured, and the next thing you know, he takes an interest in birds and was very much sought after by the scientific community, what they call in whoopee, God.
I don't know what word you're trying to...
The guy, the bird scientist that's an Oody boy.
Ornithologist?
There you go.
Oody boy.
Look, I'm having a difficult time. I don't have my glasses with me.
Oh, man.
What a retard.
Who said that?
No, nobody. So, ornithologists, those are the doctors, right?
Well, they're bird scientists. So he became, but people don't know that the reason why Robert Stroud, the reason why he had all this time to study birds is because he was held in segregation units. He was in solitary confinement. He was so violent an inmate that the prison officials had to confine him to these, solitary cells.
Hence, he had all the time to study these birds.
Yes. He had time and the inclination, I guess. And so it goes to show you that even if a man is a walking turd like this Robert Stroud, even if he's a walking piece of excrement, they can contribute, see? And,
this guy is such a retard.
Now, wait a second. Who said that?
I didn't say...
Nobody said anything.
I heard somebody call me a retard.
No, it was nothing. Bud, shut up.
I heard distinctly some freaking guy...
Don't worry about it.
I swear to God, I'll come through the phone.
Harvey, come on.
If a guy called me a retard, I was called before the bar in 1950. I'm an attorney. That metal-plated freak you got working with you.
Shut up, bud.
So anyway,
Robert Stroud.
Robert Stroud.
The guy's a retard.
Okay, I did hear that. I'm coming through the phone.
Hold on, Mr. Wireman. You can't...
I'm coming.
What's he going to do?
Mr. What?
Coming through.
Yeah! Where is he? Come on, get a hold of you.
I'm going back into the phone.
Give me the...
I'm going back into the phone. I don't care. There, I'm in the phone.
Now I got to take this guy to the infirmary. His face is beaten in.
Yeah? Well, guess what? That's what happens when you call me a tard.
Bud, go clean yourself up, okay?
Yeah.
Mr. Wireman, I apologize.
Yeah, well, you know something?
The kid was having a hard, you were unable...
Unable to what?
You couldn't pronounce Robert Stroud's name.
That doesn't make me the target of some metal-plated freak's insults calling me a rodent.
Retard.
A retard, yeah.
Thanks so much for talking to us today about Robert Stroud.
I thought you wanted me to tell you about Scarlett over here.
Scott Peterson, no, that's fine. We don't have any time.
All right.
Thank you very much, Harvey Wireman. I thought you wanted me to tell you about Scarlett O'Hara. No, Scott Peterson. So that's really interesting about Robert Stroud, the Birdman. He was a real violent man. Stabbed people, beat people up. Murdered that prison guard. He murdered some bartender. And the guy only got interested in birds because he was kept in solitary. He was so violent, he had to be segregated from the rest of the population. He was killing inmates, Boy, I'll tell you, and if you take a look at a picture of this guy, he's a real canoe head, man. There's something about some of these guys. Do you think that maybe it's true that murderers, really violent people, have something kind of maybe their brain is like lopsided or something? If you look at the heads of some of these guys, their heads look a little canoed out. They really do, man. They look like they got that egghead thing going on. Pretty freaky, dude. Coming up tomorrow, Bobby Dooley will be on our show. Later on, Chef Carl Chedilia. We also have, I want to tell you a little bit about Christmas. I've got a... signing that we're going to do in Tucson, Arizona, coming up very shortly. And our all-request holiday show will be on December the 23rd. That's this Thursday. If you've got a request to make on the Phil Hendry Show, then by all means, do it on that day. And we will play all requests on the day before Christmas. And also our Best of Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD. Order online or call 1-877-616-7445. 1-877-616-7445. What is this Phil's Christmas wish? I don't know what that is. What is that?
It was a bit about a caller calling you up and asking you what your wish for Christmas was.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I didn't know if I should get on the mic and tell you that, but I figured it might be.
All right, well, we'll have to do that next hour, I suppose. Our next half hour, I should say, because we only got a few minutes left. Oh, yeah, the Phil's crowd. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like, it's too difficult for words here. It's difficult for me. So anyway, like I was saying, in San Francisco, this guy, Beck, is on the air, and he's doing my material and my act. We ain't on in San Francisco anymore. This guy is. So what happens is, I develop this thing, whatever you want to call it, and another guy does it. I get bounced out of that market. He's still on there. So that's essentially like basically taking credit for what I do. Say, oh, Phil ain't on there anymore, so I can start doing his stuff, right? And the dude, the program director up there, this guy's keeping him on the air. So what is that about, man? In other words, if you've got a show that is a political show, and you're doing a show about politics, but now you're throwing in this voice shtick that you pulled from some other guy's show. What exactly kind of a show are you doing anyway? You know what's going to happen to me? I'm gonna be like Vincent Van Gogh. What's his name? The guy that cut off his ear? I'm going to wind up cutting my freaking ear off and going nuts in a barn someplace. And meanwhile, then somebody else is going to get rich on my act. Thanks so very, very deeply. What, David?
I'm thinking maybe Glenn Beck could get you half his check.
Nice idea. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now the Chef Carl Cedilia Show. Chef Carl Cedilia today will make a gingerbread manger in honor of Christmas. Here's Chef Carl Cedilia.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Chef Carl Cedilia program. Oh, it's a nice gingerbread manger we're going to have. You like gummy bears? I love gummy bears. I found a really good fruit gummy. I'm eating some gummy bear right now. All right, what we're going to do today, we're going to make a gingerbread manger. That was really a lot of fun for the kids, you know. Make a little gingerbread manger, and we're going to make it right here. And you can see I've already made it. And we'll put, for the baby Jesus, we'll put a little green pickle in there. Oh, you know, I want a little green pickle. Okay, well, let's put a pickle in there. And take some phone calls from people who want to know how to make the gingerbread manger. And so we have a gingerbread manger, and I eat the ginger. You have a little pickle there, I said, baby Jesus. Hello, you're on with Chef Carl Cedilia.
Hello.
Yes, what can I do for you?
Yes, I'm a Christian, and the idea of using a baby, the pickle, is really tasteless.
Well, I don't think so. This is a great call. Hi, you're on with Chef Carl Cedilia, making a gingerbread manger with a pickle.
Yeah, hello. I am a born-again Christian, and I don't know who you think. Are you Jew?
Because, no, I'm not a Jew.
Well, what do you mean a pickle for the baby Jesus?
Are you some kind of an animal? Are you some kind of a fat...
Oh, you know, I let's go to another phone call. Okay, we'll make a gingerbread manger. And the baby, and the baby's just a pickle. Maybe we'll, maybe they don't like the pickle. How about a little green pepper? A little green pepper we'll put in there.
Yeah, hi. Is this Chedelia?
Chef Carl, yeah.
Yeah, look, Chedelia. I don't know who you think you're screwing with, but you're making Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of God, and you turn him into a pickle, do you? Are you going to mock 85 billion Christians? Let me tell you, I don't...
No, no, sir, you're really...
No, don't you interrupt me. A pickle? He died on the cross for our sins, and you make him into a pickle?
You know, sir, I think you really need to get a hot shot.
You got to keep going. You know, Chef, we don't have a commercial break yet.
All right. Oh, how about if we, make him into a, like a little tangerine or something like that. Hot, you're on with Chef Carl.
Why don't you just use the gummy bear for the baby, Jesus, and then just kill yourself, you pagan SOB. You eating a gummy bear, huh? You want that to be the baby Jesus? Because I think you're nothing more than a big, fat, sexually...
All right, hold on for a minute. Yes, hello. Is this Martha Stewart?
It is Martha Stewart, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm in prison, but when I get out, I'm going to shank your fat ass for making the baby Jesus a pig.
Well, you know, I tell you what I'll do, so we won't have a problem with this. I'll just go ahead and eat the pickle, and then it won't be like,
oh, wait a minute, eat the pickle, huh?
Yes, I'm calling about him eating the pickle. He's a turd.
I'd like you to, you're going to burn, Chedelia. Hello, I'm Billy Graham. Did you say you're eating the baby Jesus? Only them papists do that kind of crap.
Chef Carl Chedelia.
You bastard!
You know you got a problem when your engineer and your producer are nodding their heads in time to the organ music. You know you got something really serious with your staff. Thank you, Chef Carl, for your baby Jesus as a pickle. What do you mean a gingerbread manger, dude? I mean...
Is this something you want to do?
I don't want to make a gingerbread manger. What do I care about any of that? I know Christmas is a spiritual thing, it's a religious holiday, but the manger thing, it only goes too far. I mean, I had, when I was a kid, a manger.
Well, but did you ever make a manger to eat?
No, I never made a manger I could eat. Why would I want to do that? Does everything, let me ask you this, Chef Carl, does everything have to be something one eats?
Well, no, I know you don't have to do that, but it's fun to eat, isn't it?
I know it's fun to eat, man, but... Everything you make, everything you do, can you eat your car?
No, I of course not.
I bet you if you could make an edible car, though, you'd drive it around and then eat it when you got to where you were going, couldn't you?
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'm telling you, for the sake of yourself and your own personal safety, don't be making mangers and baby Jesuses you can freaking eat. A little green pickle.
Well, I don't know. I'd put them in all, please, all.
And you better get them gummy bears out of your mouth, man, because I don't know what that was.
Well, wait a minute. What about a graham cracker manger with a chocolate-covered cherry baby Jesus?
Oh, God, get out of my studio.
All right, let's just call it you.
A graham cracker manger with a chocolate-covered cherry Jesus?
So when you bite him, he bleeds.
Get out of my studio. I get it. It's the stigmata, huh? Bobby Dooley coming up tomorrow night. Our Tucson signing in February. Our All Request Holiday Show on Thursday. And a Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD. You can order it online or call 877-616-7445. I just got two boxes of those babies today. And it looks like it's going to be a rock and roll time. And it's a great CD. And on Thursday, of course, the All Request Show, you call in. You can still send us your requests via email. But are you done with all of the Best of stuff, man? Are you? You just finished today, so can we start giving you some of these? Okay, because Newman was so backed up with the work, man, we were not able to get to any of these request emails. Now, a couple of other things that I need to take care of. Number one, I got a couple of emails on Cortislim. I want to talk to you about something, because some people got some misconception. Do I look skinnier or what? I mean, I'm serious, man. I'm down to around 220. Why? Cortislim. Hey, you may not look that way to you, Chris, but I've had at least three or four people tell me today, what happened to you?
I didn't say anything, Phil.
Well, no, I know, but, you know, I think that, you know, you and Newman get together in the can and start talking about what a piece of crap I am. No, I believe that some people don't think that this thing, Cortislim, is on the up and up, and I got news for you. They're a sponsor of mine. Not only does it work, it's working for my wife, working for me, working for people, everybody that I know, but what happens is something else, and this is what I want, and why I want to address this. I ain't giving a plug for my sponsor. I have to address something that's going on. Some of this email that I get about Greg Cinnamon and Cortislim, it's so obvious it's coming from the other diet industry people that it's just pathetic. I mean, don't you people realize how transparent you are? You're all out there in diet land. You're all trying to make a buck off of fat people, right? And Cinnamon happens to have a product that works and that people are using. The rest of you guys are sucking wind. And so rather than, you know, come up with a product that is as good or better, you go out and you spread a lot of crap. They've been talking all this garbage about him and about Cortislim. I have never seen more, but this is what happens when you become successful at something. People do praise you, but also the opposite happens. And don't forget this, all of my young listeners out there. When you go out into the world, you make a success out of yourself. Remember, people will sing your praises. There'll be an equal number of people trying to tear your ass down. Honest to God. And what's happened with this product Cortislim, which is working, which is a phenomenal product, which is completely and utterly and totally in line with every FDA thing you could possibly imagine, which is healthy, isn't bad for you, nothing. What's happening is they're getting a lot of pressure from all these losers in the diet world who had their product taken off the market because it was killing people. I don't need to mention any names, do I? I better not. But one of the products had the interesting initials BS.
I'm dying to know. What is it?
I ain't going to tell you. And all the garbage they're talking about, Greg, and I get these emails every now and again, and they're not addressed specifically to me. They're general, undisclosed recipients, one of those things. I read this one today. The FDA sent this letter back saying, we have investigated all of these complaints from the diet industry about Cortislim, and absolutely none of them, are any good. It's all crap. It's just a bunch of people out there in the diet industry who are losers, who aren't making any money, whose products suck, who can't help anybody, and along comes Greg Cinnamon with a product that's helping millions of people, and they're just, it's driving them nuts that he's got something that works and they don't. So what do? They start talking crap. That's what happens all the time. A lesson in life, my young friends. People will talk crap about you. Just one other note about our soldiers today in Mosul who were killed. God bless every one of those guys, their families, brave men, good work, good job you're doing in Iraq. We will win. I didn't want the day to pass without acknowledging that those guys lost their lives over there today. Brave, brave men being used in a war that is necessary. That's just my opinion. I mean, I don't want to go off on a politics, man. These are soldiers that are absolutely the best Americans we got, man. And believe me when I tell you, they believe in their mission. All this crap about support the troops. If you don't support their mission, you don't support the troops. Period.
Boy, you're getting political now. You're going to be in trouble.
1-800-449-8686. Thanks a lot. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hello, I'm Ted Williams Head, reminding you there's only 40 more shopping days until Christmas.
Hey, Ted Williams Head, there's actually only three.
What do you want from me? I'm just a head. All right, I'll go to a phone call here. It's Richard. How you doing, Richard?
Oh, I'm great, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Phil, I was just sitting here wondering,
you know, you talk an awful lot about what other people want for Christmas. I was just wondering, Phil, what do you want for Christmas? Right now, we've got information that Henry is going to pit, and he'll pit for the last time here this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, as Phil Hendry will take this year's Indianapolis 500 at a blazing speed of 9 million miles per hour. It's going to be a fantastic...
Probably just a tie.
Oh, okay, great. My wife and I were shopping. We'll get you a tie.
Thank you very much. All right, that's all the time we have for phone calls. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, of course, next week we will... next week we're going to kill ourselves. No, next week is Christmas week, ain't it? I don't know what I'm going to be doing next week. We'll be doing our show is what we're going to... What did I bring up next week? Next year, next month is next year. There's nothing about next week. Otherwise, Christmas is this Saturday, and then the following weekend, we're coming back on, what, the 3rd or something?
January 3rd.
January 3rd. And USC is in the national championship game against Oklahoma, and my engineer here, Mr. Newman, is an Oklahoma fan. How does a guy born and raised in Jersey become an Oklahoma fan? That's the stuff that bothers me. I got a friend of mine from Connecticut. He's a big Cleveland Brown fan. What's that about? My son comes from California. He's a Green Bay Packer fan. My whole life, I only rooted for California teams, and since I ain't got no football team anymore, what's next?
What's close to California?
Arizona.
How about the Arizona Cardinals?
I'd rather choke. I'd rather pull my own eyes out with a salad fork than root for the Arizona Cardinals. Next.
What about Nevada?
There ain't no pro team in Nevada.
Wyoming.
Ain't no pro team in Wyoming. Why don't you just get over to Denver, okay?
Well, what about up in Oregon?
There isn't anybody in Oregon. There's the Seattle Seahawks. Same answer for the Arizona Cardinals. That makes the Denver Broncos the closest team to...
What about the Oakland 49ers?
I hate those. They ain't the Raiders, I don't like them.
What about San Diego?
They suck.
What about Las Vegas?
You already did Nevada. I don't like the Chargers. I don't like the 49ers.
What about the Reno team?
There ain't no Reno team, you idiot. Now just get out of here. What about the Reno team? Closest thing to California, I guess, is the Denver Broncos, and that's boring. Then that means Dallas. No, thank you. Houston Texans? I'd rather starve. Let's see. Tennessee Titans? Yeah. Uh-huh. Love those uniforms. With the big T and a sword. Huh? What in blue blazes is that about, man? The Tennessee freaking Titans with a sword and a T. By the way, nice going for the Patriots, losing on turnovers. And the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, a guy by the name of who? A.J. Feely, who I happen to think is... I've loved this guy since Philadelphia. Everybody thinks he's such a screw-up. I think the guy's great. What was it, 3 touchdown passes in the last 2 minutes? 2 touchdown passes in the last 2 minutes. Nice defense there, Pats. Woo! You're not getting ready for the playoffs very well, are you? Just when you start thinking, man, you're the next coming of the Green Bay freaking Packers of the 1960s, or the Steelers of the 70s, or the Niners of the 80s, or the...
What about the Broncos of the 90s?
They're the Broncos of the 90s. More like the Cowboys of the 90s. You wind up giving up 2 touchdowns in the last 2 minutes. That sucks. But in any event, I think that, you know, may the best man win, man. I got nobody this year. There isn't a team out there that inspires me to do anything other than just regurgitate.
How about the Jets of the 1969s?
The Jets of the 1969s. Yeah, that's... Oh, God.
Well, you know what I mean.
No, I don't. Yeah, that was a good ball club. So what? That's one team, 1 year, man. I'm talking about dynasties, baby. I'm talking about the big dynasties of football. The Steelers, 4 Super Bowls in the 70s. The 49ers, 4 or 5 Super Bowls. You know, look at what Jimmy Johnson did with the Cowboys. Look at the Washington Redskins under Joe Gibbs. The Broncos won a couple, didn't they? Or they just win one. They won 2. You know, I mean, that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about great football teams. You can take the Baltimore Ravens of the world and you can park them up left. Good. And, you know, and we'll see about the Patriots. For instance, I'll give you an example. The St. Louis Rams, remember them? Yeah, they were going to set the world on fire. Funny thing happened on the way to setting the world on fire. Life intervened, meaning their quarterback's arm went bad. And when I say I've never seen an arm go south faster than Kurt Warner's. That was a football team that for one season was just the most explosive thing offensively that this league had ever seen. And then following year, forget it. And then, that's, you know, they suck. Now, you want a ball club? How about the Atlanta Falcons? I'm joking. Although, hey, Jags, nice job there, man. Speaking of that, I met the great Jim Mora Saturday night, the former head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And his son is coaching down in Atlanta right now. And, of course, I was trying to pump up Jags to Coach Mora, saying, yeah, they got a guy here, the tight end coach. They got a really good one down there. Yeah, well, I got a good tight end. Well, I know, but this guy, Algie Crumpler, whoever heard of him before Jags took him over, now he's doing 100 yards a game. Well, you know, he's pretty good. Yeah, he's pretty good now. I told you, I thought Algie Crumpler was either something you scrub out a toilet with or was something that you scour off the bottom of a yacht with. I didn't know it was a guy.
I don't get it. But then I'm not supposed to get it. I'm Bud Dickman. I'm an idiot.
Got that right. Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, coming up on Thursday, our all-request show. Order our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD online or 877-616-7445. Merry, merry Christmas.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.